Good morning, and welcome to Briar Trail Baptist Church. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. And for all mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. We really appreciate what you've done, and hopefully this will be a special day for you as well. Today's message will be, what's your safety blanket? What's your safety blanket? So how are we all coping today? We've all been quarantined for the last 8 weeks. It's been quite difficult for some. I hope you guys are all coping well, and you have enough supplies, you have enough food, and you have enough social connections with other people. I know this is a very difficult time. Some of us may need that social aspect, but I encourage you to continue to meet with people online, continue to speak to them, and give them a call. Because like right now, under the quarantine, we might miss certain things. Our friends, our family, our favorite hangout places, certain foods, or certain drinks. But I hope that you guys are all coping well. But in these times, in your times of difficulty, how do you cope? What is your safety blanket? Let me tell you a story. There once was a young man from Hong Kong. He lived with a lot of anger, a lot of hatred. He did a lot of things in his anger, and sometimes he would regret. Things that he would wish he would not do, wish he can do, go back and change things. He couldn't do that, but then he tried to find that hope and try to do good to make up for his past. He turned to Buddhism for a safety blanket. He turned to Buddha to give him peace, solace, and he tried to do good works to change and to make things better. This man matured and eventually became the father of two sons. He brought them to Canada to start a new life. But even in Canada, his past could not escape him. Tragedy struck. His younger son died from a sickness. Then later on, the eldest son and the daughter-in-law, they were driving in the car and there was a car accident and both perished. So this young man, he was asking himself, where was his Buddha? Where was his salvation? Where was his safety blanket? He asked all these questions and he could not understand. He had many sins in his past. He tried to change them. He followed Buddha. He followed all the commands to do good, to do well, and to care for others. And yet, his past could not escape him and tragedy struck him. He was a very devout follower in the teachings of Buddha, but it did not make sense. He always turned to Buddha when there were struggles and he felt so lost and he was so troubled. Buddha was a safety blanket. Whenever he had troubles, when he had difficulty, Buddha would give him peace, comfort. But right now, Buddha didn't give him back his sons, Buddha didn't answer his prayers, and in his anger, he abandoned his faith. He became more and more miserable, and he had no spiritual guidance and no longer the direction that he once had. Today, we're continuing on with Moses through Exodus. The Israelites dreamed of entering the Promised Land. They entered a place where there was milk and flowing honey, where they'd be protected, where they would prosper. But in these times, in the previous chapter, we also know that they disobeyed God. They disobeyed God and worshipped the golden calf. God was very angry and threatened to abandon them. They had no place to go. They were very, very afraid because they had no God to protect them and deliver them. Without God, the Israelites were in great fear. They had lost God, and their future was now in question. So if you follow along the bulletins on our webpage, there's also an outline. So for the outline for the webpage, there's also like couple points. My first point is greatness in God's glory. Greatness in God's glory. Moses had gone up to the Ten Commandments, gone up the mountain to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. He was gone for 40 days and for 40 nights. The Israelites, they questioned where this man Moses was. He was gone and they could not find him. Where was this guy Moses? He's gone for a long time and he has not returned. They asked Aaron to give him a new god. They asked Aaron to fashion a new god out of gold. And Moses was gone, but Aaron, he fashioned all these things out of the earrings, out of the golden gold, and he had this golden calf. The Israelites were quick to forget God and bow down and worship the golden calf. Already, they had broken the first commandment and the second commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me, and you shall not make any gods fashioned out of wood, out of gold, or anything above earth, any other thing below the earth. The Israelites has forgotten their God, and they've already broken the commandments. We look at our God. We remind that he is holy, he is pure, he is good. He cannot tolerate disobedience. The Israelites were stubborn, and they were also very rebellious. They were quick to forget their God, and they worshiped the golden calf. They even credited the golden calf for saving them and bringing them out of Egypt. But it was God who personally saved them, protected them, and brought them out of slavery from Egypt. Can you imagine God's anger towards the Israelites? He threatened to destroy them. But Moses pleaded on their behalf. He prayed. He pleaded with God that he would have mercy on them. We look back at Exodus. It's a beautiful story of interaction of intercessory prayer and the will of God. He had plans to rescue them and to spare them, but he allowed Moses to participate in the ultimate plans of God. By Moses seeking the favor of God, Moses was able to pray for the right reasons and pray according to God's will. God remember his people. God remember his promise that he made to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. He remember all these promises to protect them, to give them a land of their own, to give them a land of prosperity, to make them as numerous as the stars in the sky and sand in the seashore. God relented, and he was still angry with the Israelites. He would honor his promises to the Israelites and bring them the promised land. But he also told them, I will not be going with you, because if I go with you, I will destroy you. We read about this occurrence in Exodus 33:1-3. Exodus 33:1-3. Then the Lord said to Moses, get going. You and your people you brought out from the land of Egypt, go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give this land to the descendants, and I will give an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey. But I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I will surely destroy you along the way. God honored his promise that he made to Abraham. He fulfilled it. He brought them to the promised land where they will receive protection and they will receive the land that he promised long ago. But he told them, I will not go with you, because if I did go, I would destroy you. But instead, I will send my angel before you to protect you and watch over you. God was too angry, because if he went with them, he would have destroyed them along their way. So what is the point of going to the promised land or going anywhere if we don't have the presence of God? With God, we know that we can do everything. But without God, there is very limited to things that we can do. We associate of being in a place where hell is a place of pain and of suffering. Hell is a place where there's fire, there's misery. But the Bible does not tell a lot of details about it. It alludes to the pain, the suffering, and the burning. But we do not know how it looks like, what you'd actually be doing. But what I do know is what we know about who our God is. Our God is good. He is perfect, full of love, full of mercy, full of grace. And with God, there's comfort. There's protection. There is his care for you. But in the absence of God, what do we have? We will have nothing. With God, we have everything. But without God, there is nothing left but misery, trouble, sadness, and death. But with God, we can do everything. He empowers us to do everything that is good and pleasing. Without God, we can do nothing and we will be nothing. The Israelites, they knew they can do nothing with God. They were saddened and they were depressed. Again, it was Moses who went to plead with God for mercy. Moses went up to God and he spoke to him. And it was during the time of the burning bush, God spoke to him and revealed his name. I am who I am. My name is Yahweh. That was God's personal name. This personal name represented who God was. It's a holy name. God's name represents all power and all authority, and God had shared this name with Moses. God had favored Moses and revealed his name to Moses. God had asked for something else that was unexpected. He asked God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, God. I don't think Moses understood what he meant, but when God's glory showed, what did it look like? When we think of God's glory, what is it? Is it just God's robe that flows down? Is it a light? Or is it God's glory in heaven where the streets are paved with gold? God's glory is something that is very miraculous and is quite an amazing sight. We read about this in Psalm 19:1-2. Psalm 19:1-2. For the choir director, a psalm of David. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after day, they make him known. Another example of God's glory is displayed in Exodus 40:34-36. Exodus 40:34-36. For the choir director, a psalm of David. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they are made known. And we also continue on Exodus 40:34-36. The Lord's glory fills the tabernacle. When the cloud covered the tabernacle, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So through these passages, we read over and over again, we see the glory of God. It is not something that is just a bright light. We learn about the glory of God and it is proclaimed in heaven. All creation reflects God's glory. God's glory can be seen as a form of a cloud or fire, but we still don't know much about God's glory. If we look back in the original text from the original language, glory is called kabod. From the Hebrew, it means glory, honor, glorious, abundance, splendor, dignity, reputation, riches, and reverence. In fact, God's glory represents God himself. God's glory is a presence of God. His character, his divinity, represented in his glory. To see God's glory is to see God himself. All Moses asked was for the assurance that when he went to the promised land, that he will not be alone, that he will be with God, and God will send him off as way. He asked for a sign and a promise. When I was younger, I always had nightmares. I would have dreams that I could not control. I would wake up in cold sweats in great fear. I told my parents, and they tried to comfort me, console me, but whenever they left, the terrors continued on. But then later on, they gave me a rabbit's foot. Back then, a rabbit's foot represented good luck, good charm, and good fortune. So I knew if I had my rabbit's foot, I would be safe. I carried it wherever I went, in my pocket, and even while I slept. So after that, I was able to sleep. But shortly after that, I lost my rabbit's foot. The nightmares continued. They continued, I could not sleep again. Also, when I was younger, I also went to Chinese school. This Chinese school I really dreaded, because at Chinese school, they made us memorize these little characters. They gave us a little grid, and we were supposed to write every single character within these grids, and there was a way that we write it. There are certain strokes, there was an order, there was a role, but if you did it wrong, if you did not fill in these squares, you would get a very poor grade. But this Chinese school was also part of Toronto Chinese Baptist Community Church. And for this church's outreach, they would actually share the gospel whenever they could. And they would hand out Bibles, they would hand out tracts as gifts. But for one time that I really cherished, one gift was a little cross bookmark. It was a cross that I carried. And I don't know, I believe in all the monster lore, all the horror movies, and all these shows. And they always talked about that these monsters, these demons, would be always afraid of these crosses. So once I had this cross, I felt secure. I carried that with me wherever I went. And before I went to sleep, I would arrange to have like the cross so I can see it and it's my clear vision. So before I slept, I looked over a cross and then I realized that I would be able to sleep. But this sleep continued on for a little while until I lost a cross. Once I lost a cross, the fears continued on. So we look at our lives. Where do you go for your assurance? Where is your safety blanket? Is it a rabbit's foot? Is it a good luck charm? We all have tokens, security blankets that gives us confidence. It might be a necklace, a ring, a special gift, maybe a letter that somebody wrote to us to encourage us. It might be your parents, friends, that also strengthen you and give you hope in these difficult times. Moses needed a sign. He needed a sign, and he needed God's presence to be with him wherever he went. Because if he went to the promised land, or wherever that God might send him, if God was not with him, he was very fearful. He knew that all things were possible with God, but without God, things are very difficult and very hard. So Moses asked for the greatest sign of the world. He asked to see the glory of God, the full glory of God. I'm not sure if Moses knew what he was asking for, but he knew the Israelites were entering a foreign land with fortified cities and armies. Maybe Moses really knew what he was asking for. He wanted more of God. He wanted God's presence to be with him. We stand in awe of God's glory. So I told you early on, when I lost my cross, my fears came back. In our lives, we lose things. We miss things. There are things that we don't have that we lose track of. We lose our focus. We become fearful. We become very challenged. Sometimes things we lose are education. We might not see that we have a clear future if we don't have our education. Without our jobs, maybe we feel that we can't support our family. We don't have our identity. We don't have our hope. Without our health, we cannot enjoy life to the fullest. Without some of these treasured items or loved ones, that'll affect us. But sometimes, after losing our family members, it seems that life stops and we cannot move on. Even as we continue on with our daily chores, there will always be something that we are missing out on. Maybe that special person, that special encouragement and the support we get. A lot of people hold on to different things to give them a false sense of security and confidence. It is great that these people hold on to these things to overcome the challenge they face. It gives them hope. But sometimes these hopes are a false one. These hopes do not last for a long time. These good luck charms will fail. They do not help us, and they don't have any abilities or special powers. When we look for strength, it is important that we go to the source, and our source is God. After I came to know Christ, I would still have these nightmares. But then I realized that there is a greater God, a God that cares for us, that is sovereign, that is more powerful than all these dreams and these night terrors I would have. I would recite the Lord's Prayer. I would ask for his protection. And soon after that, God did give me rest. I was able to sleep through the night. And even today, I would walk through my house. I would ask for God's presence to dwell in every crack, every corner, every staircase, every single room, and ask for the Holy Spirit to be filled in my house. That way I know that his presence is here with me. So imagine that if Moses places hope in the wrong things. Moses was given many special abilities. He performed many great miracles. But when he performed the miracles, he also had a staff in his hand. He would raise a staff high in the air. He would call upon these great plagues. But wherever he went, he had the staff. What if Moses relied not on God, but relied on his staff? We also know that if that was the case, Moses would have failed completely. None of the miracles would have happened. The Israelites would still be enslaved. They would still be in Egypt. But thankfully, Moses remembers his God. Moses has a relationship with God. He's a friend of God. So he realized that it was not the power that he had through the staff, but the power was given to him because he knew God as a friend. He saw God as his Lord, and he never forgot his God. That is why that we were called to invite God to every single present in our lives, every single portion. Whatever we think, whatever we plan, we must include God in our plans. We must not give up on God. Moses knew that without God, he would not be able to lead the Israelites to Mount Sinai or to the Promised Land. Without God, they can forget about the Promised Land. But with God, all things are probable. So we are reminded that we are to stand in the awe of God's glory. Now comes to my second point. Mercy in God's glory. Mercy in God's glory. God is a loving God, full of grace, full of mercy. He has great compassion for his people. The Israelites, when they bowed down low, they worshiped the golden calf. They offended their God. They forgot their God. They abandoned their faith. They abandoned Moses. But most importantly, they abandoned their God who brought them out of Egypt. Moses had to plead with God relentlessly. God punished them, but did not kill all of them. Here in chapter 33, God had ordered the Israelites from Mount Sinai, away from his presence. He would send his angel before them, but he would not go with them. If he went with them, he might have destroyed them. Moses was a great man of God, but even Moses could not change the mind of God and his decisions. Moses had to plead for days and days. God could have ignored him, but it was only through God's great compassion for his people that he remembered his promise to Abraham, and he promised to go with the Israelites into the promised land. God continued to show mercy and compassion for his people. Moses saw his people bowing down low before the calf. In his anger, he broke the Ten Commandments. In his anger, he was very, very, very angry at his people. But God, even those times, still cared for the Israelites by providing new stone tablets, and the second sign he gave Moses and the Israelites was Moses' radiant face. We read about this in Exodus 34, 29 to 30. When Moses came down the mountain, carrying down the stone tablets, inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face glowed because he had spoken to God face to face. And when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiant face, they were afraid to come near him. Moses had stood before God. When you're before God, you see his greatness. And some of that was rubbed off to Moses. His glory that God showed was reflected off Moses. And Moses' face absorbed that. And wherever he went, it reflected it. And that was a sign for Moses and also for the Israelites that God was still with them. The Israelites had lost faith in Moses and his ability to lead them. They complained that God had abandoned them at the foot of the mountain. They also lost faith in God. In the rebellion, they asked Aaron to make a new God. Moses' radiant face was a reminder to all of them that God had particularly chosen Moses out of all the people to lead them, to guide them. Moses was God's servant, and that was shown through his abilities, through his miracles, through his leadership. But now, God gave him another sign, and that was Moses' radiant face. God will show kindness to anyone he chooses, and he will show mercy to anyone he chooses. God chose to show kindness and mercy to Moses and the Israelites. If it wasn't for God's mercy, Moses would have died on Mount Sinai. Moses saw the glory of God, and he still lived. We also know that God is a holy God, a great God. He is pure and holy, but if anybody were to lay eyes on God, they would not live. Isaiah was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. We hear about his prophecies, his vision that he saw of God. When he first saw God in Isaiah chapter 6, 5, we read about this, and it says, "He marveled at God's glory, and the seraphim were saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory.'" In Isaiah chapter 6, 5, Isaiah cried out, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. For I am man of unclean lips, I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah, realizing his vision, he had seen the face of God. He was filled with great terror and shock. He realized that he saw all the seraphims, he realized he saw the throne room of God, but he was before God standing there. He was afraid for his life. He cried out. Because we look back in this situation, in this vision, Isaiah saw like seraphims. These were angelic people, angelic beings that were in heaven. They were attendants of God. They had six wings, two wings to fly, two wings to cover their feet, and two wings to cover their eyes. If these attendants of God, the royal attendants of God that were in the presence of God in his throne room, if they felt they were unworthy to see God face to face, how much more unworthy was Isaiah? That's why fear struck him. He thought he was not worthy, and he thought he was going to go die. But like Isaiah, we are unworthy to be in the presence of God, and we are even more unworthy to look upon the face of God. The Israelites, they were a stubborn nation. They refused to accept the promises of freedom through God. They constantly challenged Moses to return to Egypt. They even made a golden calf. Their acts of disobedience deserved death. Moses, as a leader, failed to keep the Israelites faithful to God. Instead of reprimanding them, God was pleased with Moses. God watched over him and showed him his mercy. God wasn't sure that what would happen in the future, but we know that in Moses, he trusted God. Because if God was still angry, he was not sure that he would be able to go into the promised land. But God replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses reverted back to the time when he first met God. God had promised Moses, but he was still afraid and undecided. He wanted more of assurance from God and asked for more questions. So we also know that in Exodus 33, 17, 18, the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." Long ago, it was documented in history, it was written and taught in school that there was once a mass pilgrimage of people traveling from cold, arid climates to warmer regions to escape from frostbite, lack of food, and possibly death. This phenomenon was known as March Break. I know we can laugh at that. We've been in our lockdown for quite some time. We've been social isolating. We have not been outside for quite some time. We have not seen the sun. We have not been able to travel. But March Break seems like a long time ago. Before our pandemic, March Break, there was a mass exodus of people where they would travel from North America to places that are warmer, to Florida, to the Bahamas. They would go on cruises. And when they returned, you can see the glow on their face. They would be sun-kissed. They would be flaunted around. They would show their tan to everyone. But there are others who would worship the sun god. They would spend too much time in the sun. They would come back burnt. They would get sunburns, and their skin would be bright beet red. And sometimes if you touch the skin, it would actually be hot to the touch. So we know that when we go to like the sun places, it is good that we have the sun. But too much sun is also very, very harmful for us. We can get skin cancer. We can get sunburn and so much worse. But I can imagine from Moses' experience, it was very similar to that. When he saw the glory of God, it was something that was so imaginable, unimaginable, something that was so great, something that he could not fathom. So in his presence, he stood before God. He saw God's glory. Unlike sunburns, Moses' face glowed and was full of radiance. As Christians, we should all desire to bask in God's glory. Our faces should glow after encounter with God. We are changed because of our experiences. But unlike Moses, we should show our experiences with God to others. Because Moses, later on, he saw that people were very fearful of him, so he veiled his face. He covered it. He wore kind of a face mask, like we do today. But instead of hiding it, we should show the glory of God wherever we go. We should stand in the glory of God. We look at our sun. It is a source of light, life. But too much sun can also be dangerous. It can cause like skin cancer, skin burns, and so much more. But God is good. God is full of glory, full of grace. But even that God is so good, we cannot stand in his presence because he is holy. If anyone were to look upon God face to face, we would all perish. We are called to be in the presence of God, but our sins prevent us from doing so. But if that is the case, how do we face God without risking death? Following my next point is hope in God's glory. Hope in God's glory. Moses and all the Israelites, they all had hope in God's glory. God's glory was going to be with them. No longer were they going to be pursued by enemies. No longer would they be wandering in the desert, but they will have a place of their own. This would be the promised land, where they will not have enemies, they will have abundant food, and they will not have to worry about guarding their borders because God was with them. Then the Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." So God told them, "I will personally be with you. I will walk alongside you. I will hold your hand. I will defeat all your enemies. I will be with you." Many times when you look back in the history of the Israelites, in the Old Testament, they fought many wars. They fought many enemies. But in all in those times, if the glory of God was with them, if they trusted God and they followed God, God would win the battles for them. They would strike terror in the hearts of their enemies. God would fight their battles for them and cause confusion in the enemies. And eventually, the Israelites would win. They would be victorious. We look at the story about Gideon. Against all odds, he defeated the enemy. There were thousands upon thousands of other chariots and camels that were all encroaching around him. But God called Gideon to victory. And in setting the entire Israelite army, Gideon only had 300 men, and still he defeated all of them. So with God's glory, with God's presence, all things are possible. And likewise, with a sponsor or guarantor, it makes things much easier. On our own, we cannot do things. Like refugees, when they first come to Canada, they need a guarantor. Directors, on their own, they can probably only make small production movies. But if they have a studio backing them up, they can make big budget movies. With a sponsor for finances and materials, we can achieve so much more. When you have no reputation, no credit, no support, what can you do? There's not much. But with support, with love, whether finances or materials, we can exceed so much more in our lives. But remember your first steps. Remember when you were sick, when you were not feeling well, when you needed comfort. Who was there for you? It was our mothers. And today, we'd like to thank all the mothers who have been there for us. They've cared for us when we needed chicken soup. They care for us when we needed comfort. Our first steps, we were very afraid, but whenever we held out our hands, our mothers were there to receive us. When we were very young, the world was a very big place. There were so many new things to explore. Our mothers were there because she cared for us. Whenever we had difficulties with our homework, we could not finish it. Our mothers would stay up late to finish our assignments for us. They gave us a guidance, support, and courage so we can overcome all our challenges. I'd like to share another poem with you. It's by Lenore McWhorter. And she shares a story to commemorate her mother. God's special creation. The hand that rocks a cradle, who also makes a house a home. It is a prayers of the mother that keeps the family strong. Mothers rise early in the morning. She bathes her in her prayer. She talks to God about her family and places them in his care. Mother communicates her love in a thousand different ways. When there is a need, she is there, whether it is night or day. Mother's seasons life with love and gives so much more herself. God placed her in the best he had, and he made her unlike anyone else. When challenges come our way and when trials block our view, mothers kneel down before her bed and praise the family through. Mother is God's special creation. She is a light in the shining dark, illuminating the path for her family and pointing them towards God. Today, we do not have Moses. He's not there to guide us, to lead us in our everyday lives. But God has gifted us with mothers, mothers who care for us and support us. Whenever we have doubts or fears, our mother is there to give us courage and strength. Without our mothers, we would still be cowering in fear. We would not have the strength to continue on, to move on to the next step. We thank God for our mothers, but our mothers also need our prayers. So today, give your mother the gift of love and pray for your mother and send her a special gift. Today, we are not wandering our deserts, but we still need our mothers. And more so, we need our God. We need God in our daily living so that we need to invite God into our lives. We are not in the desert, but some of us need an exodus from the problems in our lives. We need deliverance from the pressures and problems of life. The life situation between the Israelites and ours are very different, but we also live in the same times. We still need our God in our lives. We still need to pray to God for deliverance, for support. We stand in the awe of God's glory. We're reminded in Romans 5:1-5. Faith brings joy. Faith brings joy. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that help has deserved a character of endurance, and endurance develops a strength of character, and a character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So some of you might feel that you've been wandering in a desert, just going around in circles with no place and no direction. But all of us here, we are going through our exodus, but we are going through our 8th week of our isolation. In March, there was a record high of 1 million people who have lost their jobs. The employment rates were very high. People who have reduced work hours, people who were laid off, people in small businesses and restaurants, they have closed down. In April, the unemployment rate also surged to 13%, and with almost 2,000 people have lost their jobs. People have lost their hours of pay, reduced payment. Some of them have not been able to make payment for rent. They have not been able to make purchases for groceries. Some of you have returned to work, and slowly, as our province is opening up, people are allowing retailers to open, groceries, hardware stores, but the recovery is slow, but we are still making progress. So there is still hope. Hope is coming. We can learn a lot from our trials and mistakes from the Israelites, and we can apply them to the journey through COVID-19. We can learn to bask in God's glory, to be in his presence, so we stand in the presence of God's glory. For everyone who believes in God, we can receive hope and peace because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we can share in his glory. Our hope is not rested in things of this world that will eventually rot, break, and fade. Our hope is in the resurrected Christ who has overcome sin and death. Because of our faith, we share in God's glory. We are invited in his presence. We can share and gain access to God's grace in his glory. We might have to suffer a little longer, but we know that even in our suffering, God is there with us. God is there with us when we go through the fire, when we go through the waters, when we go through the deep ends. Our God is there. It is God's glory that enables us to endure hardships in our lives. We stand in God's glory. We know that God's glory is something that is miraculous, but it represents his presence. It represents his being. So if we have God's glory, we also have God. Since we are so sinful, how do we stand in the presence of God? How do we stand in his glory and still live? God has plans for us. That is why he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. If we look back in the Old Testament, we see glimpses of Jesus Christ. We see this Son of Man. We see the commander of the God's army. We see that God is there. We see the Son of Man. These are all forms and manifestations of Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. He appeared to people and he took on bodily form. In the Gospels, Jesus teaches disciples that he has come to do the will of the Father. Whatever the Father does, he does. Whatever the Father has planned, Jesus follows through. Jesus only does what the Father does. He and the Father are one. Jesus is God in the flesh. Philip and the disciples, they asked to see God the Father. And we read about this in John 14:9-11. John 14:9-11. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." God has made a way for us to see him face to face. He has made his way through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves us so much that he's willing to die on the cross for us. And because of what he's done, God has given the name above all names and given the place above all thrones. People can be able to see God through Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw God, and he was very fearful. He thought he might perish. But immediately, the seraphim, the angelic beings, they came down, picked up a live coal, and with that, they touched Isaiah's lips, and his sins were atoned for. When Moses saw God, he was put in a crevice. He was put in a little crack of a rock, but he's only able to see the back of God until God passed by. Today, we can still stand in God's presence. We can stand in his glory. We can see him face to face because of what Jesus has done on the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed for us. Our faith has allowed us into a place of privilege and grace through Jesus Christ. Now we can stand in great joy because we have no fear, because we have seen God the Father through Jesus Christ, and we can stand in his glory. And we're reminded that we can do great things through Jesus Christ. We're able to stand in the awe of God's glory. One year, I was invited to my old church's anniversary. And during this anniversary, there was great food, great fellowship, but there was also a great number of people, of Christians, who were having great testimonies or able to share. There was one man who shared with us his story. His name was Ma Hongfei. He was a gentleman who once harbored bitterness in his heart. He was a gentleman that I was told about that had so much difficulty. He came with his family to Canada for their new life, but he lost both his sons in sickness and in a tragic accident. He turned to Buddha for answers, but Buddha could not give him all the answers. He asked Buddha, where was he? Why wasn't he prospering? Why didn't he have hope? He lost joy. He was very depressed, but his joy was turned to great happiness in 2003 when another friend introduced Christ to him. And through Christ, he felt that joy. He felt that peace. He felt that forgiveness. And finally, he was able to find the answers that once plagued him. Finally, he was able to find complete joy. Like Moses, Mr. Ma saw the glory of God. It was only through the problems were taken away so we can stand in the glory of God. God's grace, God's story does not stop there, because Mr. Ma is also a personally family friend of my father. So when I was younger, I remember Mr. Ma and his wife would come speak to us and bring us to temples. They would actually bring us to see Buddha and offerings. But soon after, I didn't see too much of him. And I realized that when I went to this banquet, I saw Mr. Ma again. I heard his story. I saw the transformation. I saw his change from anger, change to joy, to celebration. And he started to share Christ wherever he went. And continuing on, he is also a friend of my father. And while my dad was serving in Hong Kong as a police officer, Mr. Ma was his mentor. He also served in the police force. And I know that previously, before my parents came to know Christ, I would share Christ with them all the time. But I am always your child. And whatever I tell them is always child's play. They never take me seriously. They never take my word. They never understand who our God is. But Mr. Ma, after I spoke to him, we were able to understand our presence and our purpose and what we're to do in Christ. He promised me that he would tell my parents about who Jesus Christ was. This is my dad's mentor, and if anything, he would listen to him. Over the next couple of years, my parents became believers. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were baptized. So I believe that Mr. Ma and his testimony had somehow changed my parents. So we know that there is hope in God's glory. Even when things go wrong, when things seem very desperate, our God is there for us to stand in the gap. He has a plan for all of us. In times of uncertainty, confusion, we can go to people, or we can also even go for foods or even drinks to give us comfort. But what if these things fade and fail? What if they're no longer available? What if we lost them? Where do we find our hope? We are no longer children. I do not treat you like children. We shouldn't be sleeping with our teddy bears. We should not be carrying our blankets wherever we go. We are adults. We are growing and we are mature. We have journeyed through the deserts of our lives. We should be transformed and renewed because we have all seen the glory of God. So put away your childish ways. Put away your safety blanket. Put away your teddy bears and hold on to what is true, what is lasting, and whatever is trustworthy, and that is our God. We are allowed to stand in the presence of God because of his glory and because of what Christ has done for us. God has plans for all of us. So we are not alone in our faith. We are not alone in our troubles and our struggles. Our God is there. Whenever you're afraid, whenever you're alone, what is your security blanket? When Moses was afraid, he chose the glory of God. So we can invite all of you to stand in God's presence and to bask in his glory. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we are very thankful that we are no longer alone. We are not abandoned. Many of us are traveling through the deserts in our lives. We do not know where we are going. We do not know the future. We have no certainty. But one thing I can promise you, that we have Jesus Christ. If we have Christ, he strengthens us, and we can do all things through Jesus Christ. So may we continue to be in his presence. May we ask more for God's glory to be in our lives. so that we might also reflect God's grace to everyone wherever we might go, so they too might experience joy, hope, and deliverance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.